It's time for JT the Brick.
Let's go. Let's pick up the pace. There are high expectations for this team. The Raiders have an established offensive line. You might not love it, but Colt Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, we got some big dudes today. Who's going to start that first game? Aiden O'Connell, one. Gardner Minshew, two. I want the ball out. I want the ball out quickly. I want slants. Will the ball get out? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, out.
JT the Brick.
And in the last regime, we took too much time in between plays for no apparent reason. We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. He is a gift from the sports gods handed to us in Vegas. If Bowers comes in with 73 receptions and 11 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, that changes everything. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me.
And now,
get him the ball.
Here's JT the
Brick. Yeah, we're ready to roll today. I got my snake Ken Stabler shirt on today from the Hall of Fame, where I emceed his Hall of Fame party in Canton, Ohio. So I broke something out good in the back of the closet. Said I need some mojo, man. Need some mojo this week. I don't want to be Raider therapist. It's on my business card. I don't want to be Raider therapist. I don't have to be Raider therapist. I don't want to. I'm not Raider therapist in the summer, but when they lose, we kind of walk everybody through what happened, and then we try to figure out why it shouldn't happen again. And then we look to the common next opponent, which is probably the toughest game of the year. Probably the toughest game of the year, week two. Thank you, Roger. Roger gave us the Harbaugh brothers. We had a golden opportunity to go into Los Angeles on a steamy hot day. I mean, we live in Vegas. It's hotter than L.A. And we didn't win the game. And we didn't get it done. And the Raiders lost their 0-1 in a game they should have won. They should have won. I could say that, right? I'm allowed to say that. They didn't win. Right? So we're a bunch of adults here. We know they did not win, but I could say that they should have won because the Chargers didn't want to play in the first half of the game. The Chargers had no interest. So if you're watching me on YouTube at JT the Brick YT on YouTube and you're looking at what I'm doing here, I put on my Raider gear. I'm ready to go. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, Raider doesn't work after Monday in the postgame show. And the Raiders lost to the Chargers in a game where Justin Herbert looked at Jim Harbaugh with about a minute to go until the half and said, we got nothing. We really got nothing, coach. Can we go into the locker room? Can I get some Gatorade? Can we kind of talk again? Because we didn't play the first half, and the Raiders, for whatever reason, didn't put us away. And Harbaugh's like, I got this. I did this in Michigan. I did it at the 49ers. I did it everywhere. We'll figure it out. We'll make adjustments. We'll run it down their throat. We'll play more physical than them. We'll wear them out, and we'll win the game. And they did. Tip your cap to Jim Harbaugh. Tip your cap. He's a good coach. We never said he wasn't a good coach. Never said that on one show. But I didn't expect the Raiders to come out and play the way they did with that much on the line. I think the Raiders had more on the line than the Chargers. I really do. Jim Harbaugh's brand new. He's going to be there forever. He's never going to get fired, okay? He's fine. The Raiders had more on the line because they're playing in Baltimore week two, and Baltimore's coming off 9 days rest. So the Raiders had more at stake than the Chargers. I don't even know who the Chargers play the next couple of weeks. But now the Chargers, what really pissed me off the most was the fact that the people who didn't watch the game. So some people didn't watch the game. They were too busy watching Kansas City, Baltimore, or Dallas and Tom Brady on the first broadcast. Maybe they didn't watch the game. And then they read the press clippings and said, oh, wow, Jim Harbaugh beat the Raiders in his first game. La-di-da, look at that. And now we got all that train's left the station. Now Harbaugh's a winner. They changed the culture. The culture's great. They're a bully. And that's what we knew would happen if they won the game. For the Raiders, I think the Raiders overall look back at this game as a blown opportunity. Not the end of the world. It's not a season wrecker. But it's once again what Raider Nation is dealing with and what I deal with every day is that we'd like to have it a little bit easier. And that's the theme of the monologue brought to you by PT's, Golden Entertainment. They fuel the monologue. You know, they own the Strat. You go into the Strat, man, it looks gorgeous. William Hill Sportsbook. They got a PT's right there in the lobby, which is unbelievable. Banquets and great restaurant, big screens. Then you can go to the top of the world, have one of the best meals of your life, go on the rides, do whatever you want. And 70-plus locations, Bobby, now. And I went to the Great American Pub, where I'm going to be hanging out a little bit more, over on Buffalo. If you go to Buffalo in the 215, not too far from the new Durango, there's a new Great American Pub right there. and it was gorgeous, and it's really dialed in for sports fans. The sports memorabilia they have there alone is fabulous. So I'm going to be going back there. The menu was great. PT's as they kick off the show every day. So why isn't it easy to be a Raider fan? Why are these games that can go either way? Why are they not going our way? The season ticket holders. Why can't we get a bleeping weekend where we win 22-10? I mean, why can't we win 22-10? Why do the Chargers have to win 22-10? And that's what I want to hear from Raider fans today. I think a lot of it has to do with the term that you hear all the time. It's called execution. Coaches have a game plan. They have a game plan. Of course they do. There's really good coaches in that building. Really good coaches in that building that put together a game plan, and they go up against other coaches who are really good. They put together a game plan, and whoever executes it better usually wins the game. That's it. And the Chargers had no game plan the first half. None. They couldn't run the ball offensively. They couldn't run it. They couldn't throw it. Three and out. The Raiders had great pressure on Herbert. Really good pressure all over him. It got on top of him. And then halftime came. And the Raiders lost the game because they didn't finish the game in the first half. They had the ball around midfield with a couple of minutes to go till halftime. Minshew threw the ball backwards. And that pretty much lost the game. It was a mistake. It was a physical mistake. You know, if you jump off sides, if you hold, if you do certain things, we can criticize every mistake. It's hard to criticize Gardner Minshew for the ball slipping out. Come on, it was a fluke play. The guy's had a hell of a career in different modes of backup, starting. He's made all the plays you can make in this league. That was just a fluke. So you don't want to ride the guy into the ground. He's your quarterback. You don't want to ride. The guy completed 75% of his passes. He had an interception on a tip ball at the line of scrimmage. It happens. And a ball he threw behind his back, which was a mistake. It slipped out, and that cost him the game. So a lot of this is on Gardner because Gardner didn't execute, but he executed 75% completion ratio. That's something to build on. Rich Gannon was pretty impressed with that. So with that being said, what I said yesterday, and I'm not going to walk it back because it's going to kind of tie into what we're going to do here the rest of the week. The Raiders need to unload their playbook this week. I just said it. Put it in a promo in 3-2-1. Whatever they got in Henderson, whatever they got in the Al Davis vault, a vault of Al Davis, like a safe, where Mark's the only one that has the combination, maybe one more. You go in there, you open up the Raider vault, and you take it all out. You take it all out and you go, here's what we're running. We're running a little ghost to the post. We're going to run this. We're going to run that. We're going to run what we ran with Freddie, with Cliff. I mean, they ran it in the 60s and 70s. We got video monitors now and we can slow it down and highlight it and put some AI into it and music. We'll show you how to run the routes Biletnikoff ran. Biletnikoff ran those routes in the 60s and 70s. So just run the Freddie routes. Oh, the Cliff route? Yeah, Trey, you're going to play Cliff. We're going to put you in a costume. We're going to put you in Cliff Branch's jersey like they did with Jacoby Ford when he did that unbelievable presentation. You're going to run the Cliff routes. And Brock, I want to introduce you to Dave Casper, who's still with us. And Dave, get on the phone with Brock. Get on the phone like Thursday night. Maybe get on the phone with Brock and Mayer. Get a little Zoom going. And Dave, you tell us how you ran these routes in the 70s and how it worked so much. Getting back to basics here. We're going to unload the vault. We're going to spin the vault door open. We're going to take out the great plays in Raider history, and we're going to run them all. And if we win the game, great. It's freaking awesome, right? It's amazing if they beat the Ravens. They're catching 10 points. And if they don't win the game, I don't think there'll be a Raider fan that'll be upset because they get upset with me. Like I coach and I drop the ball. They get upset with me. But that's what we'll do next week. If the Raiders run all the plays that they could, they unload everything out of the vault. They try the double reverse, the throwback, you know, hand it off to Jacoby. He throws it to Devontae. Everything they run, I'm good. I'm great. That's all I want this week. This isn't a bit. This isn't me trying to be funny like the other shows in town that got seven guys trying to laugh at each other, trying to give little jokes instead of talking sports. We're not that show. Point here is, are you ready? Are you ready with the game plan today on Wednesday? Luke Getsy, who I think it did the install. We spent a lot of time talking about the install. 12 personnel, two tight end set, more guys in motion. We saw it all in Costa Mesa. The install was good. Let me tell you a little secret. Remember what happened in Costa Mesa? Ball kept hitting the ground. Guy by the name of Max Crosby blew up every practice. They couldn't control Max. Max just wanted to go nuts every play, knock the ball down. He did. So you didn't get a lot done in the preseason because you were deciding who was going to be the quarterback. I agreed with that. You know, you're sitting there, you're going to try to figure out if it's Aiden O'Connell, it's Gardner. I'm fine going with Gardner. I actually support the Gardner decision because he's more mobile. Needed that with Khalil Mack. How'd that work out with Khalil Mack? And now you're going up against Baltimore where you need an experienced, more mobile quarterback than Aiden O'Connell. I mean, Aiden could play in Baltimore if they needed him to play. But overall, when you look at what Aiden does, I think Gardner on the road in Baltimore, probably the better choice for this game. And then you go from there. But I want to see the playbook more expansive. So what we're going to hear this week, and I don't know, I'm going to interview the coach tomorrow. It's always respectful. Start off, coach, what happened? What happened here? What'd you do? This and that. Then we're just going to get right into Baltimore. Coach spent the whole week talking to everybody about what happened. By Wednesday, when he gets to me in the chair, we're looking for Baltimore. We're trying to give you content about 10 minutes on how to compete against the other opponent. And we'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow, breaking news, we're going to debut this show on YouTube, on the Raiders YouTube channel. It will be much more buttoned up than Bobby and I here in the studio. Bobby and I are very loose here in the studio. Very loose here in the studio. There will be very buttoned up with the Raiders. Very buttoned up, and we'll do our job, and we'll follow the format. Man, what a show we got lined up. Every week, Lincoln Kennedy. I mean, they want a good 15, 20 minutes out of Lincoln that he always does. He's going to be great. Vinny Bonsignor in the studio, on the stage with me in there, in the podcast studio. And then the coach, Antonio Pierce, is going to join us. So that's every Wednesday, noon to 2. And Levi Edwards from the digital team. And maybe a player. Maybe a player will come upstairs as we're on YouTube. So that's going to be every Wednesday. No phone calls on Wednesday because we're doing more of a Raiders YouTube show. Like when Eric Allen did the show, we did the show Monday. We didn't take calls. Right? We didn't take calls with Rich Gannon. You know, some of the stuff's a little bit more buttoned up than the other stuff. So that's what we do. So instead of being on my YouTube page tomorrow, which I hope you still follow, you go on the Raiders, and we'll do that tomorrow, which I'm excited about. It gets me in the building. Gets me an opportunity to talk to the head coach and some other coaches and find out what's going to happen here. Bobby told me we're bumped off the air Thursday for a little Aviators, which means I have to reschedule Rod Woodson and a couple other people. I'll do that and try to figure that out. And we'll get to Friday. And then the following Friday, I guess a week from this Friday, we're going to be at Whiskey Stadium to do our first Modelo remote on a Friday with the Black Hole and a bunch of other friends before the home opener. This weekend, I'm going to Canelo. Going to go see Canelo Alvarez because I go to all of his fights, the Sphere, UFC, a lot going in town here. But getting back to the Raider game, I think my theme's going to be, and we could still go back. There's a lot of fans who didn't get a chance to hear me on the post-game show, didn't call in or listen yesterday. But today, I usually use Monday and Tuesday to recap the game, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we look ahead. But if you want to call in because it's just that time of the week for you and you want to look at the Ravens, go ahead with that. You know, these games that you're not supposed to win when you're a 10-point underdog, yeah, that's a real number, right? They were a 3-point underdog against the Chargers. You know how many Raider fans lost money because they loved the Raiders and they bet the Raiders on the money line or the Raiders to cover and the Raiders got beat 22-10? That's a gut punch. Raiders are getting 10 points in this game. I don't care about the point spread. The Raiders need to win. The only way they can win this game, multiple choice here, ways they can win, is they've got to do what the Chargers did to the Raiders. And here's what the Chargers did. The Chargers got to halftime. That's all they needed to do. Their first game, they weren't ready. They weren't tight. They weren't buttoned up. And Jim Harbaugh, with the four-minute mark, said, get in the locker room, just let's get off the field, let's fix this, and he did. Raiders have to do the same thing in Baltimore. Jets get to the locker room at halftime. Give me 21-17, give me 17-14, give me halftime with a manageable score. Then Max will be in the corner, and he'll be sitting in the corner there with Christian Wilkins hydrating, and maybe they could flip the game. Maybe they can win the game, because I think they're going to win some games in their career together individually, and maybe this is the first Wilkins-Max game where they pummel Lamar Jackson as he tries to tuck and run, and they whack him to the ground and the ball comes out. You know what I'm saying? The game's got to be close for that to happen. I'll go back to the Buffalo game last year where the Raiders opened up in Buffalo and Orchard Park and Devontae scored on the first drive. They went up 7-0 and got boat raced and beat after that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about keep it close. So the problem is my brain plays tricks on me. In order to keep the game close, you got to keep Lamar on the sideline, which means you have to run the ball. We didn't run it very well. We didn't run it well at all. Our offensive line was getting pushed around. So how are we going to run the ball? Well, you got to give him another chance to run the ball. You got to spread him out, and you got to hope that Zeus, without a fullback, with four wide, with Brock and Michael Mayer, maybe Brock in the slot, Jacoby on one side, and Devontae on the other, or Trey Tucker, spread him out, and we're able to hit a couple of runs with Zeus, and he takes off into the second level. That's one thing of looking at it. Or you can agree with me, let's just go have fun and throw the ball almost every play. Let's do one of those Gannon-Pittsburgh games where you throw it 45 times and say to hell with it. Let's just go in there and have fun and throw it. Am I nuts to say that? Will that just be, can you buy into that or no? Like Gardner Minshew going four wide with Brock in the slot, Devontae, Jacoby, and Trey, Michael Mayer staying into chip or block. Is there any chance that could work? I don't need it to work for four quarters, but I need it to work a bit. Right? And then are we going to do the JT the Brick t-shirt? Can we play faster? Or do we not want to play faster? Do we want to slow the game down? See, I'm even confusing myself in this monologue. I don't know to play fast and go four wide or to slow it down and play scared. Raiders aren't playing scared. You see this head coach in all these videos screaming Raiders, pumping his chest. He's a hell of a coach, hell of a player. He's not scared. So the Raiders aren't going to be timid coming out of the tunnel. They'll be Raider Nation in Baltimore. They travel. This is where the Jersey guys, New York guys from Virginia, this is their one game. We're not playing at the Meadowlands this year, the Giants or the Jets. We're not playing in New England this year. Not playing in Buffalo. East Coast Raider Nation coming to Baltimore. But it's their home opener. Ooh. And they're kind of upset they lost. So that's where we stand. I'm optimistic today, because as I told everyone, including one of my bosses the other day, I'm not going through life miserable. I got a great job, great family, great wife, great kids, unbelievable jobs, multiple jobs. You think I'm going to wake up every day miserable? No, I'm gonna come in every day with my A game, do a good show, and get the hell out of here and hope the Raiders win and give you everything I have to get it going. Paul Gutierrez, we were supposed to have. Let's get Paul, if you can get him up here. Yes, Bobby, in the beginning of the show, I'm running late with Paul. That's my bad. If we can get that going, and we apologize on that. We'll see if we can get Paul for a minute, if we can fit him in here. And then we'll get rolling there. So 702-365-9200. We'll get you right up here. We're on the YouTube page, and we'll get rolling here. And then with the change of the program tomorrow into Thursday, what we're going to do, we'll get that done and get it going here. So we'll see if Paul has a few minutes to come on with us right now. That was our bad. And if he doesn't, we'll reschedule Paul there and get it going here. And then I'll read some of the chats today. A lot of people are there in the chat, and they're ready to go. And, hey, Rich Gannon, if you didn't get a chance to see what Gannon was able to do with us, we'll play a little bit of that. I apologize to Paul Gutierrez as we're running light. Paul, a few minutes, just your big picture recap of the game as you were in Los Angeles and what happened.
Yeah, first of all, JT, happy Holy Roller Day to all
yes.
those that celebrate, right?
Thank you. I celebrate that. I got my snake shirt on. I love that.
There you go. Yeah, 46 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
46 years ago today, yeah. So, yeah, you know, and it's interesting. That was the same opponent the Raiders played in their opener, the Chargers. Obviously, different city, San Diego, Oakland. But, yeah, in terms of what I saw in that opener, it just seemed not discombobulated, but it just seemed like offensively, the Raiders just could not get something going. Anytime they seemed to get something going, there'd be a turnover, unforced error. They couldn't convert on third and short, fourth and short, whatever the case may be. And the defense really carried the day until they couldn't carry it any longer. And that's basically what we saw when they broke off a couple long runs, because up until that point, the Raider defense was keeping the Charger offense in check.
Paul, what was the problem on the 4th and 1? Looking back on it, hindsight, after you get on the plane, you come home, you think about down and distance, 16-10. I don't think they were going to run away and hide. They proved they couldn't do that all day. I thought that was their last opportunity maybe to score and maybe have some luck in their direction and run a play for 1 yard and maybe find a way to finish the game. How'd you see it?
Yeah, when it happened in real time, I thought, okay, I thought they still had enough time to do what Antonio Pierce said the goal was, which was to pin them back. They got them inside the 10-yard line, and that the defense could hold them and they'd get the ball back around midfield, which is where they were. So then you start questioning it. Obviously, like you said, hindsight's always 20/20. So if you have faith in your defense to pin them and make them go 3 and out inside the 10-yard line, why wouldn't you then have the same confidence to do that at midfield? You know, and that's basically where the game came down to, because that's when the defense kind of broke down. It just, again, was one of those things where they were having trouble running the ball all day long. They couldn't convert. They couldn't convert 3rd and 1. They couldn't convert 4th and 1 earlier. I think they only had one first down run all day long. And they only went into the red zone once all game long as well. So there was a lot of if you kind of break it down, and no one will ever say this on the record, but it seemed like there wasn't a lot of faith in the Raiders' offense and the offensive line and the running game in particular to get that long 1 yard at that point. And he had more faith in the defense. And, again, it just did not work out the way they wanted. They got what they wanted in terms of why he punted at that point in time. But, yeah, hindsight is always 20/20.
Paul Gutierrez, ESPN. So what did we learn about the Getsy playbook from the install that you and I saw in Costa Mesa, the 12 personnel, the two elite young tight ends? What did we learn coming out of L.A.?
That Brock Bowers is going to get more and more involved. I mean, it was funny. I mean, it was kind of a quiet leading the team in catches, leading the team in targets, and because it didn't really flash, and we saw more flashes in camp, so to speak. But again, he missed the last 2 weeks of the preseason with the foot injury, so we're going to see a lot more of him. We're going to see, I believe, more of a dedication to the run, and maybe Alexander Mattison shows that he's more capable, at least at this stage of the game, of being that lead back a little bit. He's got a little more shiftiness to him, a little more wiggle than Zamir White showed, at least in that opener. There's a picture I tweeted out yesterday that I shot from the press box, and with apologies to Martha and the Vandellas, I titled it "Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide," because he's trying to run it straight up the gut on a zone read option, it looks like, and there was nowhere for him to go. So I think we're going to see more of a. Well, I know we're going to see more of a dedication to getting that run game going, because you cannot become too one-dimensional, especially going to Baltimore. You fall behind early, and it's going to get ugly real fast.
Paul Gutierrez, as we wrap it up, let's preview Baltimore. Lamar wasn't at practice on Monday. You know, they got a couple of injuries coming off that Kansas City game. I know how good they are. Lamar puts up amazing numbers on the ground and in the air. What chance do the Raiders have with this defense and what's happening with the second defensive end when Kuntz out and the Tyree Wilson injury? I see they bring in a new player. What can you tell us about that and how the Raider defense can get after the Ravens offense?
Yeah, I think the way I phrased it was they brought in another body for now to the practice squad. Mm-hmm. They need somebody they can contain. They need somebody to hold contain on that other side, because over there where Max is, and Max freelances a lot when he goes from side to side, Christian Wilkins up the middle. I asked him yesterday also what it means to be so low at depth. Because as Antonio Pierce said, you know, we got the Raiders got thin real quick at defensive end. So now you need some bodies out there to at least hold contain, to be a spy on Lamar, so to speak, and not let him run wild. And again, seeing it, saying it are two different things. And that's one thing that Christian Wilkins said yesterday. You could game plan all you want, but it's a different animal when you're out there actually doing it and playing against him, and he just takes off on you. So the defense needs to step up. The defense needs to play as well as it did for the first 3.5 quarters. And you know, if they can, keep it close and let the offense kind of take the top off a couple more things along the way.
Thank you, Paul. We'll do it every Tuesday, other Tuesday, and we appreciate you. Have a safe trip to Baltimore.
Sounds good. See you there.
All right, Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. That was my bad. We were supposed to have him on earlier, and I was just staring at the screen, doing my 20 minutes of knucklehead foolery in the monologue to get everybody going here. So thanks to Paul Gutierrez. Let me get one phone call before we reset and get everybody going. Lou is in Anaheim. He joins us on the Raiders mobile app. What's happening, Lou?
Yes, sir. I enjoy your YouTube channel.
Thank you.
I catch up whenever I miss this particular show. But one of the things I noticed is that Harbaugh did exactly what he did in that championship game.
Mm-hmm.
He stuck to the plan, and I kind of thought that the defense was going to wear out eventually. I have to say I was more upset at the guy missing that kick, that field goal, and then Zamir fumbling. I was so upset at that. And I think we just got to do better. And I couldn't eat or do anything for the next couple of days, and I'm hoping to see better results. But I think we have to stick to the game, to the plan. And that's what Harbaugh did, and that's why they beat us. And I had a feeling that was going to happen eventually as the game wore on, and that's what happened.
Did you go to the game from Anaheim? Did you make it?
I'm an older person. I did that a couple of years ago, and then I'm just watching things from home.
Well,
I don't even go to the local games around here.
All right, well, I appreciate your support. Thanks for watching on YouTube, and thanks for calling in. Appreciate you, Lou.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Lou in Anaheim, good to hear from you. If you can't go to the game, we understand. If you can go to the game, get there. If you can go to the game, great. If you can't go, try to sell your tickets if you're going to a Raider fan in Vegas or on the road, because Raider fans will buy your tickets if you're available for that. All right, so that's where we are as we open up the show today. You get Paul Gutierrez, you get the monologue, you get everything going here, and I'm excited. I'm excited for La Casa Cigar Lounge in Tivoli Village. I'm going to head over there this weekend and have a stick. Their walk-in humidor is where I kind of get lost, with over 500 cigar labels to choose from. Live music 7 nights a week. Mike, I don't know how you pull it off. 7 nights a week they got live music there. Private memberships are available. That's La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village, online at lacasacigars.com. They got a great Instagram page, and they post a lot on Instagram if you want to check out what they're doing there. All right, here we go. Baltimore. All right, Cincinnati's not great this year. Pittsburgh didn't look good in week one. We're playing Pittsburgh. Denver was a mess. We play Denver. Carolina stinks. We play Carolina. I mean, what's going on here? There's a lot of games that the Raiders can win, but they got to play clean football, and they got to take their game to a higher level immediately.
Yeah, well, we had two penalties, which, you know, one was costly because it was on a big run, and then we had the offsides penalty. That was a sack. So we had two penalties in the game. The thing that's disappointing was just, you know, obviously the little deal down there in the end zone. And I get it. We're protecting our teammate, but we never want to put ourselves in a position where it's possibly ejection, fines, or suspension down the road. That's we don't want to be that team, right? And, you know, again, you know, the history of the Raiders has always been that team. But we don't want to have that, you know. And our guys just got to be careful. Again, I love protecting one another and going to battle for one another. But if you throw punches or anything like that, you're in the wrong sport.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce wants everybody to get off the field after the game and no punches. And, like, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. That's not that big of a deal for me. If you're going to defend your teammates, do it. Don't throw a punch in the game. Don't take your helmet off. Don't do anything stupid. And the Raiders have been a pretty clean football team since Antonio Pierce took over. I mean, they are hammering it home to everyone on that team that do not commit penalties and be smart. Hey, we're brought to you by M-Ride, and I want to make sure you all understand what M-Ride does. Teo Johnson, former Raider, is involved with this. He's a great friend of mine. They're the luxury concierge shuttle service. It's the same bus the players use. So you get in one of those luxury coaches, they take you to the game. They'll take you round trip from Circa or the Palms to Allegiant Stadium, T-Mobile Arena. No more hassle parking, sitting in traffic, or waiting on a long taxi line, or even a rideshare. Just M-Ride it, and you'll get in and out quickly. Reserve your ride at mridelv.com. That's mridelv.com. Use the promo code BRICK. That's mridelv.com, promo code BRICK. And just M-Ride it, and you'll thank me for it, because you'll have a beautiful ride in and out of the game. It's on time. It's perfect. It makes a lot of sense. M-Ride, proud partner of our show as we continue. So do you want to, for the rest of the week, because we have limited time on the phones here with the Aviators on Thursday, do you want to open it up and throw it, or do you want to run the ball and try to be smash-mouth bully on the road in Baltimore?
You want to run it like Derrick Henry? We don't have Derrick Henry. Okay, so what do you want to do here? I'm into throwing it. I'm into getting wild, man. You know, like a Vegas party. You know the Vegas parties? You know why people come from Ames, Iowa and Davenport and they come in from Rochester, New York to Vegas? For the party. We have much better parties. We don't have clocks. We have nightclubs that open at midnight, pool parties. Women swim up to you with bottles, bottles of alcohol. You can play blackjack in the middle of a pool. We have better parties. Why don't we throw a party in Baltimore and throw it? Why don't we do the Gannon? Just go out there and just get Minshew in the shotgun, rolling right, rolling left, dumping it across the middle. Just move it. See what happens. I don't know how many. Roquan Smith's a hell of a player. They got a nice young safety there, but it's not like they have an all-star team. Do they have Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins? Last I looked, I don't think they do. They have good players. Raiders have good players. Their offense has got weapons. I like the Raiders' offense. They got a much better quarterback than the Raiders. Much better. Lamar Jackson than Gardner Minshew. But Gardner Minshew's up for the challenge. And Gardner Minshew's not going to have that job forever. Unless he has a couple big games. We all agree on that? We all agree on that? I mean, look, Zeus went to the bench pretty quickly for Alexander Mattison. He came in and scored, and I think they looked around and said, who's ever the hot hand, quote-unquote, we're going to give them the ball? Well, let's do that with the quarterback, too. The last time we played a game like this, the Raiders, we season ticket holders, the last time I saw a game like the last game was the Minnesota game when we lost 3-0. After the Minnesota game, we put up 63 on the Chargers, and the rest of the way was pretty wide open, fun, everyone having fun, cigars, remember cigars in the locker room? Last time I looked, that's what we were doing at the end of last year, trying to make the playoffs, smoking cigars, whipping it around there other than the Minnesota game. Well, this game that the Raiders just lost, 22-10, reminds me a lot of that Minnesota game where they just didn't have a plan, a play. They just couldn't get anything going. They're at a point where they just – Paul Gutierrez just joined it. His words, not mine. They just didn't look very confident. They didn't have a lot of faith, Paul said, in the offense. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. How do you not have faith in the offense? How does one of the elite Raider insiders say they didn't look like they had faith in their offense? Because he's probably right. I don't think they were confident after they got stuffed on third and short and fourth and one. Running the ball into the pile. How about not running it into the pile anymore, Bobby? Does that work? How about running on third and one and try to get outside maybe? I don't know. Maybe that's better than running it into a pile with a bunch of 360-pound grown-ass men. I don't know. I'm not a play caller. But I know that Getsy, from everything that I've heard so far, that Getsy is well aware of why he was brought in here, what he's supposed to do, and I'll give Luke Getsy a lot of credit for the install of the 12 personnel and the two tight end set. And I typically believe that when a offensive coordinator has a rough game, he comes back and tries to fix it quickly. Because that's what they want to do. They want to keep their job long term. They want to call great plays, and they want the team to win. Raider Dave in the Bay Area on the mobile app. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's up, JT? Thanks for taking the call. Yeah. Ultimate Raider Dave in the house here. Yeah. Raiders, we're coming back. It's just the Raiders have to, and you've alluded it to it there, JT. Mm-hmm. Raiders have to throw everything at them. Everything. You can't be just one-dimensional. It doesn't work. You have to. They have to hire David Blaine to get some magic going or something. Because that's the thing, too, is that you have to have controlled chaos. You have to keep them on their toes. You can't be one-dimensional. You have to go big. You have to stretch it out to open up the run game. Then you can't keep going to the well and trying to bash your way through the pile when you got a guy like Bosa and those guys. They're tough. You have to respect your opponent, man. Respect them. Know that you do not give them the ball back with 7 minutes to go, and you're within a score. You have to punch your way out of it. That's what I'm disappointed in AB, is because it doesn't seem like he's aggressive enough to be out of his mind. You got nothing to lose but losing. You got to lose the losing. That's what we got to lose. We've been doing this for so many years. JT, you and I have been in these stands for years watching these different coaches fail because they have no rhythm, no clock management, no cojones to say, you know what? We're going to show that I believe in my team by going for it on fourth with 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
We cannot afford to give Herbert or Hebert the ball back.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let me clarify this because it's an important topic now in Raider Nation. We all know that Antonio Pierce has the balls to do whatever he wants. Let's not say that Antonio Pierce is afraid to go for on fourth down. Give me a break. At that time in the game, he's got the best punter or top two punter in the league. He thought he can pin him back. The defense was playing better, and that would have been the better plan. Now, I don't agree with it because they were trailing 16-10. Okay, if it was 13-10, you can hold them to another field goal. It's 16-10, you can still win the game. You punt the ball away 16-10, you give up a field goal, let alone a touchdown, you lose the game. So I didn't like the punt. It didn't make sense to me, but I support the coach, and we don't have to agree. None of us have to agree on any of this stuff. Been watching football since I've been 5 years old. I have the right to say that I like to go for it on fourth down, and there's other times I don't like to go for it. It depends on what's happening with the game, down and distance. So he's talked about it. I'm sure he's answered that question a bunch. I'm going to move on. We'll see if he does it the next time. Maybe he does it the next time because he understands that might be their last chance to win the game. JT, as we continue on, Jeff Sherman will join us from the Westgate. We'll take a look at the moving odds that are coming up that are really important, especially on the Raider game, 9.5 to 10 points. I'll get you an accurate number there. We're back with Grimaldi's, hands down my favorite pizza. I always get the Brooklyn Bridge for the house there. They got slices now for lunch. Summerlin on the Strip, Grand Canal Shops, Southwest Vegas on Rainbow, and Green Valley on Eastern. Grimaldi.
First and 10 on the Chargers 31. This is promising. Pistol for Minshew. Sends Myers in motion to the left. Takes the snap. Dumps it out to the flat. Madison at the 30. Hops over a defender. 25. Into space. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Madison. Oh, he hopped the defender. And he left the Chargers in their dust on a 31-yard passing touchdown. And the Raiders have a 6-3 lead.
Jason Horowitz on the call. I think he's joining us next. He just texted me. We'll see. All right. We'll go to Jeff Sherman, the VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. The sharpest book in town. The best experiences I've had with my friends in town is when they walk into the Westgate and they go nuts when they see all the video boards, the service. Jeff, let's start off with the Bengals loss. I know a lot of people around town in other contests, survivors, how that affected you guys. What did everybody say about the Patriots showing up big and winning that game?
Yeah, surprise all around there. That was the best game of the day for us because it brought down the money line parlays, the teasers, and you know, you need one of those favorites to lose from the book's perspective, and that was the one that we got for that day.
I think it was interesting, the Raider game, as you know. Was there sharp money coming in at one point for the Raiders? Because in Nevada here, and the Raiders ended up, you know, obviously not winning the game, not covering the spread, and Jim Harbaugh puts it away big late, 22-10. How'd that game play out?
Yeah, a lot of sharp money. You know, all summer we had that Chargers -3.5, and the Sharps took the 3.5. We got down to 3, and we saw even more Raider support from the locals at +3. So, Chargers covering was good for the book. A lot of Raider support.
What about the Cowboys coming in here? I know the Cowboys get big support home and on the road there, and I like Cleveland this year coming in. I didn't expect Deshaun Watson to play that poorly.
Yeah, the Sharps were playing that back and forth. It got as high as Cleveland 2.5, but the public was all over Dallas as an underdog. You know, all the afternoon favorites covered, and they treated like the Cowboys were a favorite. So we saw a lot of Dallas support.
The Giants were a disaster, and they had their 100-year anniversary, and they had an opponent that they beat in the playoffs a couple of years ago with Daniel Jones, beating Kirk Cousins. And just wondering what happened in that game and if there was any sharp money coming in on the Vikings, who just basically steamrolled them.
Yeah, we couldn't get any Giants support at all, and I'm sure the Giant support will not be showing up in the future. We actually, this week, the Giants are playing the Reds or the Commanders, and we saw some sharp play on the Giants taking +2.5 down to 1.5. But I think the public will be looking to fade the Giants just like they did last week.
What'd you see last night over at the Westgate, especially when Christian McCaffrey was not activated? A lot of fantasy players and prop bets tied to that, and obviously one of the best players in all of football. And Jet fans were really optimistic getting that inactive news before kickoff.
Yeah, well, first of all, we were in scramble mode with all the propositions and player to score the first touchdown and things like that that had to be adjusted. But the point spread went from -4 on San Francisco down as low as 3. Saw some sharp money, -3. Got us closing at -4, so back and forth there. But like I mentioned, all the proposition wagers were the ones that were really affected.
Jeff, a couple of games at your house this week, Miami-Buffalo. As we get to that game, see Miami as a slight favorite. The Tyreek Hill incident, he scores a touchdown. And Buffalo was really slow at home against Arizona before they stepped up in the second half.
Yeah, we opened the Dolphins 1.5-point favorite. It's up to 2.5. And in this new NFL, 2.5 at home is generally equal footing. It used to be 3, now it's 2.5. So we have these two teams rated equal right now.
Ooh, let me follow up with that again. I've always heard that, and you know I'm not a gambler, but we put sharp people on like you. So -3 at home was the standard. Now you said 2.5?
Yeah, if we consider two teams completely equal, we'll open the home team 2.5.
Okay, Dallas, New Orleans, considering how good New Orleans looked. Every time everyone looked at New Orleans in that last game, Derek Carr was really locked in, but it's Dallas's home opener with Dak.
Yeah, we opened the Cowboys 6.5, saw some sharp play on the Saints today. We are down to 6, even though most of the market is remaining at 6.5.
Jeff, how'd you and your team handling this Green Bay situation after Matt LaFleur didn't completely rule out Jordan Love? The last I looked before the show is their home against Indy.
We've completely ruled him out this week. You know, the subsequent weeks, we'll have to pay attention to that. But the Packers would have been a 4.5-point home favorite this week. The Colts are -3 on the road. So you're looking at crossing 0, but a 7.5-point swing on that. So we have him considered out this week. Potentially next week, even though when we put up our week 3 lines later today, we're going to consider him doubtful for that game, with possibly returning the week after that.
One more game I wanted to hit on. One of our listeners wanted to ask about the total. Tampa Bay at Detroit. Baker Mayfield had arguably his best game in Detroit. Really in a slugfest. They could have lost that game to the Rams. They're at home again.
Yeah, that total has gone up, and mostly because of Tampa's defensive injuries. We opened at 49.5, then bet up to 51.5, and on the side we're sitting at Lions -7.
I see you updated your Super Bowl odds about an hour ago. I wonder how the Jets were affected with that performance last night. What were the big changes, Kansas City and San Francisco on top with the shortest odds?
Yeah, the Jets went from 20 to 30 to 1, and you know they had been 30 to 1 most of the summer, but we saw a lot of support driving them down to 20, so we replaced them back to 30 to 1. But some of the notable moves we've had: the Eagles going from 16 down to 10 off their win on the Friday night game in Brazil. The Bengals not looking so great against the Patriots, have gone from 12 to 16. The Packers 16 up to 25with Jordan Love's injury. The Steelers made a nice move from 80 to 50.
Let's move to the WNBA here in town in Vegas here with Mark Davis's Aces here. I see the update here 4-1 with Minnesota, but the New York Liberty even, huh?
Yeah, we've taken some sharp money on the Liberty at +120 recently, so they're down to even and bumped other teams up, and the Aces are at a high point. Right now we've seen some support at 4, we're at 7-2, but then we've been bumping a lot of the other teams up because people think it's a two-team race to start with. But there is some competition out there with Minnesota. I'd keep my eye on them at 4-1.
Hey, as one of the best golf handicappers in the world, can you give me a big picture on Scheffler, the money he won, the handle on Scheffler betting, the liability to the Westgate, and all your years of handicapping golf? How bizarre was this year, or good or bad for business compared to the heyday of Tiger Woods?
Not much liability on him because he's such short odds, and there's still people looking elsewhere rather than playing it at those odds. But it's the best season that I've seen outside of Tiger when he was running strong. I'm most respected, and you see it where he's less than 5-1 in every tournament, ran away with all the top prizes this year. Look at the odds for next year. He's already 4-1 for the Masters. I opened him up for next year's FedEx Cup Championship at 5-2, which for this year he closed at +120. So ultimately respected.
Last one. Tell me about UNLV football and the buzz in this town and college football and how good UNLV can be here as you take a look nationally with your other books there, too, when it comes to UNLV.
Yeah, it's been great. We love the buzz around here, and we got a lot of interest in the book watching it. And they're playing this Friday night at Kansas, just getting 7 points in a rematch of the bowl game last year. So live in that spot, and there'll be a lot of support for them on Friday.
Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate. Thank you, Jeff. Always appreciate you.
All right, thanks, JT.
Jeff Sherman at Golf Odds is where to find him, one of the sharpest gaming minds, period. And we have him in here just to know how the line's moving, what's happening. So there was a little bit of chaos last night as Mason, the running back. So Jason Horowitz is going to join us next at the top of the hour. When he was doing television, I did radio for him in the preseason, and Mason was the Niner running back. So we called that, and he got the ball a lot. And I was saying to Lincoln and Eric, man, this guy's pretty good. Well, he went out last night and had a monster game. Monster game last night. And after the game, it was a bit of a controversy because everyone was asking, well, when did you find out you were going to play for Christian McCaffrey? He did not give the best answer. Like, he knew about it a couple of days before. And then what happens overall is Kyle Shanahan's like, whoa, wait a second. We said, you know, this was Kyle. We just made him McCaffrey inactive right before the game. So for the second consecutive week, 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey's status is uncertain as he continues to deal with a calf and Achilles injury. Uh-oh, Achilles injury. You don't want to hear that. You know, which all you pickleballers guys, remember, man, you know, I play a little pickleball, not a lot, little. Played a few times. Watch that, the straining and the starting and stopping on old man, 40 to 50-year-old Achilles guy. Be careful there, Christian McCaffrey. No pickleball on the side as you're getting ready to come back with that potential injury. So I'm going to keep it here on YouTube for about another 20 minutes because we got Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders, coming up next. We got to get Jason some wins on the road at SoFi. That's going to be, we got to get him a win on the road at SoFi. So he's going to join us coming up here in a little bit. We'll get his opinion on the game and what he saw up in his perch. And then get you ready with a little bit of a preview for the Baltimore Ravens coming up. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. The black hole showed up. I'll tell you, Mark and Cisco and Rilla, Violator, go to theblackhole.com. Become a lifetime member.